It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. Very welcome along to another week of the 9 to noon show. It is Monday the 24th of June, 4 minutes past nine. How was your weekend? What a weekend. It was a busy one around the county. I learned a very valuable lesson and if you watch the show you'll learn what that is. Always check that your sunscreen is in date, because I went out fishing yesterday and I got an awful scalding. But anyway, that's my piece of advice for this morning, as maybe we look towards some better weather as the week wears on. Did you enjoy the rally? Did you have fun? Great football on the TV? What else did you do? Let us know. 086 60 25000. WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. And if you want to email the show, it is comments@highlandradio.com. and if it suits you to watch the program, maybe now the children are off, you have a little bit more time, you're in the house, whatever the situation may be, you can fire up your smart TV, go to the YouTube app, type in Highland Radio Ireland. You can do that on your Fire Stick as well. And we're also on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. The Donegal news this morning: thousands of rally enthusiasts descended on the county at the weekend for what has been described as the jewel of the crown in Irish motorsport. The Donegal International Rally is one of the biggest annual events in the motorsport calendar and attracts people not only from across Ireland but internationally. With this year's rally seeing a record number of entries, Donegal International Rally PRO Keith Glendinning put this down to the successful start of the Inishowen stages. I have to commend the people of Inishowen for the warm welcome, the support, Mr. Glendinning told the Donegal News. And the Gardaí branded the event a success as well, praised the majority of people who visited our county or who moved around the county for the most part behaving themselves. Look, I drove through Letterkenny on Saturday, and I have to say that there was lots of cars, lots of noise, but lots of young people and not so young people just happy out and about. So there you go. By the way, just in case you are watching, so I'm not quite as red as the camera is making out it is, but as I say, please make sure your sunblock's in date. Right, the Derry news. Record-breaking year for rail use in Derry. Derry's railway station has registered its highest ever passenger numbers, surpassing all of its previous records. Figures secured from TransLink show that a phenomenal 952,000 passengers passed through Derry's rail station across 23-24. This represents an increase of almost a quarter of a million journeys versus the previous 12 months, which itself was a record year and amounts to a 32% year-on-year rise. I wonder what our figures would be in Donegal if we had that option. That's almost a million. Very, very impressive indeed. Just in case you have your Revolut card or what have you, I know I've spoken to people in the past on this program that I find Revolut to be secure, but it's the way I use it. So if I'm using Revolut, I transfer some money into Revolut, like 50s, that kind of stuff. And the security I find from that is, if God forbid I were to lose the card or if I was scammed, the maximum that can be taken from it is the maximum that I have in it, and it's normally very low. That being said, between scams and other stuff, people have lost thousands of euro from Revolut, and from speaking to people on this program, it can really be quite difficult to get your money back or to get any success. And that's why this story interests me in the Irish Independent. Digital bank Revolut has insisted it is not snubbing its customers who report having money scammed from their accounts and has denied that its systems are being hacked. The comments come after the paper presented the fast-growing fintech with another batch of cases of customers who've been in contact with it after their accounts were fraudulently accessed and had money stolen. One cybersecurity expert who said he never responds to scam texts and emails had more than 5,000 euro taken from his account when he was in bed and not using his phone. He insisted he did not authorise the payment. Revolut refused to refund him but relented when contacted by this publication. Other people have received calls whereby it's very complex that you get two callers effectively, one from your bank, AIB, Bank of Ireland, whatever it might be, and one from Revolut, and they work together to scam people, and they are very, very convincing. Earlier this month, the Irish Independent queried a number of cases with Revolut where its customers experienced fraudulent activity or had their accounts shut down without explanation. In response to the latest bunch of cases, Revolut said it had taken a second look at them and engaged directly with the customer. Now, what I've found is that people who've contacted us say that they struggled to get any satisfaction. Let us know if you're affected by that or want anything to say or have anything to say on that issue there. The Irish Times this morning, firmly established as the big two issues in our snapshot polling service, immigration and housing remain centre stage in June. Immigration remains the leading concern for the second month in succession and for the fourth time this year. Each month, monthly snapshot poll conducted by the Irish Times by Ipsos BNA canvassed the opinions of 1,000 Irish adults asking what they have seen or heard about the government that makes them think the country is moving in the right direction or wrong direction. All answers are recorded verbatim and later coded into answers categories. Almost half of respondents in this month's poll mention either immigration or housing. So that's, I mean, whilst they are the biggest issues, only half that respond to the poll suggest they are the two biggest issues for them. These crowd out all other issues and were clearly prominent in voters' minds as they cast their votes in the local and European elections. I read a study over the weekend that showed that actually this doesn't help anyone looking to get on the property ladder or what have you. But when you take the average wage, and the average wage can be quite misleading at times too, of course, because there are such disparities dependent on where you are in the country, that Ireland has is one of the most affordable places to build or purchase a house. But as I say, that's a survey. That's not the lived experience of many out there today. More disruption for Aer Lingus passengers, potentially. The Irish Daily Mail reports this, as do other papers. The industrial dispute between Aer Lingus and its pilots took a turn for the worse yesterday as senior union reps accused the airline of trying to intimidate staff over sick leave. For 5 days, starting on Wednesday, 250 flights will be cancelled due to a strict work-to-rule action. Irish Airline Pilots Association representatives have said Aer Lingus has become very aggressive with the union during the negotiations after IALPA's announced an eight-hour strike next Saturday. The airline announced then it was cancelling 120 flights on Saturday alone. In a statement issued over the weekend, Aer Lingus said following IALPA's escalation of the industrial action by announcing an eight-hour strike by pilots on Saturday, Aer Lingus has had to cancel 120 flights on that day. And I'm sure there are people listening to the programme today very keen for a resolution that will probably affect them. I hope it doesn't, but, you know, it's inevitable. A woman who was viciously assaulted by her former soldier husband says she hopes to take a stand with brave survivor Natasha O'Brien to stop future attacks. Maeve McLaughlin Doyle, who was brutally assaulted by her now former Garda and ex-Defence Forces member Mark Doyle, says she'd like to make a stand together with Natasha. She was speaking after disgraced soldier Cathal Crotty was last week given a fully suspended sentence for a horrific attack on Natasha in Limerick. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that story. Maeve said, "I'm hoping I can get together with Natasha and a few other women and maybe we can make some sort of a stand together. I want to contact Natasha, as I know all too well, as a victim trying to navigate both the civil and the criminal system and how restricting and disheartening it can be to the victim." And, you know, really worried, really worrying story this, because if you listen to the judge's comments during the sentencing, where this fella got a 3-year suspended sentence, fully suspended, and everything that was, all the mitigating circumstances were in favour of the person who attacked, not only attacked this woman, but also then boasted about it and used some really horrendous language that would indicate they didn't care less. And there's something seriously going on when you look at other people that have been sent to jail or are in jail for what, some might say. And then you get someone who can beat someone like he did. And the judge says, well, we don't want to ruin his career, do we? I'm not into sort of very strong, evocative language. You know, like people might say, oh, this person needs to be brought out and flogged and all that kind of stuff. But the sentence needs to surely be consistent across all crimes, but also, you know, fit the punishment should fit the crime. And I think a lot of people out there don't believe that to be the case. I'm not sure if the DPP can or will appeal that. That remains to be seen. I anticipate they probably will if they can. The Irish Daily Mirror has prices are still going through the roof and are likely to rise even further because of an active shortage of properties, a worrying new survey has found. I didn't think ever that house prices, you know, people who maybe bought houses, 110% mortgages and what have you, at the peak of the housing market in, was it 2007, just before the crash. I never thought house prices could ever get to that level again, but they've actually gone above that level, even considering inflation and what have you, which is really quite remarkable. Prices rose by an average of 3.8% in the second quarter of 24, the latest DAF.ie house price report revealed. The typical listed price nationwide in that period was €340,000, a 6.7% higher than the same period a year earlier and 35% higher than at the onset of the COVID pandemic. Dublin, the house prices in Dublin, 4.7% higher than a year previously. We were down in Dublin at Friday for the Pink concert, which was okay. It was good. We had a great day. The Pink concert itself was, you know, you have to be a Pink fan, but a lot of swinging through the air and stuff. And if you like that, you would have loved it. But anyway, the one thing I noticed is, and I'm not just saying this to sort of try and be controversial or anything, but I haven't been down in Dublin for a while, but it is not a very pleasant space. It's not clean. It's dirty. It's smelly. The roads infrastructure is poor, and they're trying to accommodate cycling and bus lanes where they don't simply can't. The roads aren't wide enough, or they're encroaching on other spaces for pedestrians or what have you. And I just thought it was chaos and not very pleasant at all. And I did note also too, and I didn't realise this, is that, you know, even like sort of the shopping centre, a lot of businesses closed down during COVID, haven't reopened, and it's not really very, very nice, in my opinion. And as I say, I'm not saying that, you know, like back in the day where Ivan Yates would sort of make jokes about Donegal and blah, you know, there was a bit of poking the bear in that. I really don't mean that. I mean it in that way, but, you know, if you view Ireland as a whole, Dublin is the capital, there is some serious work needs to be done on Dublin, I would suggest. Now, maybe people love Dublin and they're from Dublin, that's fine. But for me, I didn't really find it very pleasant at all. Very pleasant people I met, but just the infrastructure and the cleanliness, like bridges, that, you know, beautiful modern bridges that are absolutely filthy, that in any other major European city, they'd be power hosed or what have you. You know, it just looks like... just looks run down. But anyway, back to RTE now. And this is a bizarre story because it seems to be expressing what Lottie Ryan is feeling. But they haven't actually seemingly spoke directly to her. It's in the Irish Sun. RTE has been accused of disrespecting the name of the late Gerry Ryan by badly treating his DJ daughter Lottie. That paragraph in itself sounds a bit weird to me because Lottie's a fully grown adult with a family. But anyway, the Irish Sun can reveal Gerry's girl feels betrayed after being told she's being axed just a month after she took over the drive time show from the two Johnnies. The paper reveals that the 38-year-old will be replaced by TikTok lip sync star Kaylee Trapp, 28, as early as this Friday. Pals of Lottie say she is devastated and feels used. They claim 2FM deflected attention away from the two Johnnies' departure last month with the smokescreen that Dancing with the Star winner Lottie was finally being given her own show after 14 years with the station and would finally replace the duo in 2FM's most listened to show. Now, I don't really listen to 2FM very much. I do dip in and out of it. I think Lottie's obviously a lovely woman. I'm just not sure she could carry a show herself on that station. I don't know. They still need to do an awful lot of work down there. Right, 086 60 25,000. That is your WhatsApp and your text number. Or give us a call on 07491 25,000. What do you think of the draw, Donegal to face Louth? I don't think we could have done much better than that, could we? Armagh will play Roscommon, which will be a good game. Dublin versus Galway should be another good game if Galway turn up. Kerry versus Derry. But the thing I noticed about this is we still don't know, are Donegal playing on the 29th, the Saturday, or the 30th, the Sunday? You know, people have plans to make, don't they? And, you know, maybe not hotels because it's like €850 for a family of four, or maybe childminding or whatever it might be. You think at this stage we should know which day Donegal is playing on. And also, too, the semi-finals, we don't know what the semi-final pairings might be because still teams have to avoid each other. So there was an awful lot of, not manipulation, because that implies something else, but, you know, this quarterfinals were manufactured. There was three stages, okay? So it was to keep teams apart that had played earlier, and I get that. Or do I get that? I don't know. And then in the semi-finals again, there's more efforts to make sure that people don't play each other again. So it is It's not an open draw. It's very structured. But anyway, what do you think, Donegal v Louth? What do you think of the weekend's action? What happened to Tyrone? What about Derry? Upsetting the odds. Beaten Mayo, written off by many. But they are through to the quarterfinals and could be on course for a fantastic season after being written off, or written up, then written off, and then now they're back. Any views on any of that, of course, and any of the other any other weekend topics, let us know. I gave you the numbers. I won't repeat them again. Now, joined on the programme by Elaine Cole, who is from Letterkenny and living with multiple sclerosis, and also a patient spokesperson for the campaign with the Neurological Alliance of Ireland. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Elaine, how are you keeping?
Okay, Greg, thank you very much for having me.
No, it's good, and it's good to have you on, and good to get this issue raised as well. Right, you're calling on elected reps and the HSC to fully resource and provide an outpatient consultant neurology service at Letterkenny University Hospital. So what is the current situation as it stands?
The neurologist has to travel from Sligo every 2 weeks to Letterkenny. And we have to travel to Sligo to see them. Like, it's from Letterkenny, it's like 144 kilometres. And then if you're coming from Inishowen, it's 300, like up and down in the one day. And some people has to even travel to Dublin, up and down. And it really takes your fatigue by the time you come home, even to get there, even. You know, you're just not yourself at all.
And some people have to travel even further than Sligo.
Oh, Dublin, yeah.
And is there a sort of a typical scenario in that how often you might need to see your consultant? Like, do you know how often you might be able to get to see them in Letterkenny versus having to travel to Sligo?
Well, you can see them every year, every 6 months, depending on your situation. Yeah, but there is a long waiting list, a very long waiting list.
And if someone with multiple sclerosis, what kind of engagement are they having with the neurologist? Is it in terms of, you know, medication or complications, or, you know, is there a sort of, what would you be meeting your neurologist about? Not you personally, I mean, Elaine, generally speaking.
It's just with complications between you seeing him like 6 months ago or a year ago, and what happens between the time you've seen him and after 6 months, like in between, if you had any relapses or, you know, if you had side effects from anything, you know.
Yeah.
Any falls or if you need anything.
And it's just a sense, presumably, and I say this with a little bit of knowledge, is that you matter. In other words, that there is an interest on behalf of the state and the HSE as an arm of that state to actually offer the best standard of life and the longest life possible if you have multiple sclerosis. And I've spoken to people who feel that's not the case.
Sorry?
I've spoken to people who feel really that they feel that maybe there's not a great interest in giving them the best and longest life as someone with multiple sclerosis.
No, it isn't. Like, well, I have it 17 years. And, like, I travel between 5 different hospitals, like from Sligo, Letterkenny, Manor Hamilton, and two in Dublin. And it just like takes like 1 month, like just take it. I had 3 appointments in 1 month, and it just takes you down, like knocks you for sense, like,
yeah,
just fatigue.
And public transport for you is not an option, so it's
not
very inconvenient.
Not an option at all. My husband has to take off work. You know, take holiday days to take me there. It's awful because I don't drive myself. Because I can't, you know, with my legs and my eyesight.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. And like in the Neurological Alliance of Ireland, a lot of people from Donegal saying the same thing, Elaine.
They are 100%, yes. And we really do need a neurologist in Letterkenny.
Again, you know, I don't want to sort of be part of speculation, but I was speaking to someone who reached out to me on social media who was very keen. They had a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis and was very keen to see a neurologist, but they were told that their multiple sclerosis was not advanced enough. That was my reaction. I'm watching you here. And they were frustrated that, you know, they would have thought, well, obviously you get me in as soon as you can and we get the right sort of treatment plan or what have you. Have you heard of anything like that, or is that just a one-off case from a person who I trust, by the way, that was in contact with me?
No, well, I haven't heard that. I didn't hear that. I never was felt that.
Yep, no, that's
okay. Urologist.
Yeah. All right,
yeah.
Okay. So you want the pressure on, don't you, from the elected representative to say, right, look, there certainly is a requirement and a justification to have a full-time outpatient consultant urology service at Letterkenny University Hospital.
Yeah, it's such a disadvantage compared to other parts of the country when it comes to assessing them.
Was there a service in the past, Elaine, that's been watered down, or has it been like this for quite some time? Pardon my ignorance.
Since I was diagnosed with MS 17 years ago, it's been like this.
Wow.
17 years.
Okay.
Your neurologist, Kevin Murphy, you know, that's just one of them. And he used to come down every 2 weeks, but I think he only comes once a month now because he's just under so much stress. Not stress, like so many
pressure.
Patients.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's covering a massive area.
It's unbelievable.
So do you think, the majority of the time, do you have to travel outside of the county?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay. Well, listen, we'll make our inquiries, Elaine. Of course, there's lots of people who are elected. You know, we're heading into a general election. Hopefully, those with influence hear you and make representations on behalf of all people living with multiple sclerosis in our county.
Yeah, we set out to cancer care reform. Patients have the right to access service closest to their homes.
Yeah.
And to elect representatives have the responsibility to see the promise through.
All right, okay. Yeah. Have you anything else you want to add, Elaine, just before we wrap it up?
No, I just really want to see all the TDs and county councillors out there getting this going, because we really need a neurologist in Letterkenny Hospital.
Okay.
Because it's just it's the people living with it feels, you know, it's just, it's too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
It would nearly take on more symptoms.
Traveling. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, the stress and strain of it.
Stress.
Yeah. Okay.
We really need our government to make lifelong applications to living with neurological conditions, that we need them to act now, not later.
All right. Well said,
Elaine. This is 17 years I'm talking, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is not something that came down the tracks a year or two ago, or can be blamed on one thing or other. Okay, yeah. Elaine, leave it with us. We're going to make inquiries to the HSC as well, and we'd love to see your call on elected representatives to take up this, because I would imagine quite a few people are affected by this. And why should we, just because we live in a particular area, why should we have more difficulty in accessing, you know, healthcare, especially when it comes to, you know, the quality of life and what have you. All right, Elaine, listen, very well spoken. Thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate
it. Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you.
Take care, Elaine. Well done to you. Okay, best luck. That is Elaine there. Now, I mentioned, by the way, just as it relates to the semi-finals of the All-Ireland, I was right, was I? Okay, that's good. But there was no right or wrong, but someone, there was a few people says, no, the semi-finals is an open draw. But I was sure that the person making the draw this morning on the radio suggested that there are still some teams that can't meet. It feels, as I say, it just feels a bit strange to me that the draw is still being, not manipulated, but it's not open anymore. But anyway, I'm enjoying the football, so I don't really mind some brilliant games at the weekend. A caller says, the Gardaí were nowhere to be seen last night when my parents called to report people from the rally kicking their front door in and throwing eggs at the house. Oh, horrendous, mindless stuff. Right, okay. I mean, obviously, I can imagine they were really, really stretched. What I thought was really interesting as well, too, over the weekend was a safety measure put in place to, I think it was used the Cullion Road, is that what it's called, Caroline? The Cullion Road, they closed it to use it as a route for ambulances and fire services and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was really the right thing to do, and fair play, because there'd have been an awful lot of criticism if they hadn't. But it's a terrible indictment, isn't it, of the tens of millions of euros spent on the four lanes, that the first big event after it officially opens we actually have to dedicate a road that is not that road to allow ambulances and fire services through. Do you not think that's absolutely unbelievable? We've talked about access for vehicles to the hospital and stuff. I get that, right? But it was the fact that you actually have to not use the road that 10 or 15 million euro was spent on. And also, too, you know, that road is bumper to bumper often. Is it that in some way, you know, life is more important. I don't want to be evocative, but life is more important during a rally than it is when the rally's not on. So if you're admitting that you need to have a different route for emergency services when the town's busy, you know, what do you do when the town's busy on a Friday? What do you do in a Northern Bank holiday? What do you do? You know what I mean? So it offers up questions as well as providing an answer for me there as well. What do you think about that? I haven't articulated it very well. It's probably the bloody sunburn. But anyway, I hope you know the point I'm trying to make. 086 60 25,000. Changing tact with Brendan now. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Greg.
Now, I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, Brendan. A bit of an education here for me anyway, and perhaps many of our listeners, because the summer solstice, obviously, we hear about it from many different areas around this country and elsewhere, but there is quite an interesting history here in Donegal. So you're going to run through that for us, are you?
Yes. Well, we have in Donegal, we have probably the most spectacular of all the time-telling devices for telling when summer solstice occurs. The latest summer, or the latest sunset, is actually the 23rd or the 24th of June every year. The earliest sunrise is probably about the 17th, 18th, or 19th. And we're only talking about seconds apart, but the longest day is the longest period between these two events. Now, if you know where Mongery Hill is, it's on the road from Letterkenny, the old road from Letterkenny to Raphoe, and going up by Machraquin School there, Glenmaquin School, National School. That's a long straight road if you look at it on the map, and you wonder, why is that road so long and straight? Well, if you go up along that road and you go to the highest point on it, where the aerials are, and look back, now at 10 o'clock, between 10 and 10:30 this evening, you will see the sun setting behind Muckish.
Mm.
And what does it do? It lights up the cairn on top of Muckish. And it makes sense as to why that cairn is there on top of Muckish. And so that sets the time for the year for the rest of that whole area. Because by lighting a fire then on Mongery Hill, that time can be relayed to Croken and Beltane and a host of other mountain tops around the areas where they will also light their fires.
Mm.
And that means that people know, okay, in this area, that's the time, this is the day, the longest day in the year, the latest sunset in the year, and now the days are going to get shorter again.
So this is by design, not accident.
It's completely by design, and it shows, you know, this is prehistoric. It's probably even much, much older than Newgrange or Newgrange particularly, I would say. It's older than the pyramids, I would have thought.
So describe the visuals for us. I know you have there already, but just to paint the picture a little bit more, I presume you've seen it.
Yes, I have seen it, and I've been thinking about trying to relay this whole message to people in Donegal because it's a fantastic spectacle. You go along that road from the school, Glenmaquin National School, up to in the direction of Raphoe. It's a long straight road. This road looks, and then when you get to the highest point in that road, you look back. You'll know you're at the highest point because the aerials for all the mobile phones and things like that, mm-hmm. are all up on top of that hill. And just don't walk to where the aerials are. It's on the road you need to be, because the road points you back. If you look back along that road towards Letterkenny, you're really looking north-northwest, you will see the sunset. Now, that's going to be between 10 o'clock maybe and 10:15. And it should be a nice evening this evening, and there might be a bit of cloud forecast for 10 o'clock. But even the cloud will enhance the whole appearance of the spectacle. The sun will set behind a cairn on top of Muckish.
Now, a cairn is a pile of stones, effectively. It's often, isn't it, used to mark a burial ground. Pardon my ignorance, I'm not sure of what its function is on Muckish.
Yeah, well that's the whole theory behind them at the moment. But in actual fact, these were time-telling devices. And they were able, by building these stones on top of a hill like Muckish, in these piles of stones on the top of a hill like Muckish, you could then identify where the sun is going to set, the latest sunset's going to be, from a very, very far distance away. So the sun over the last few weeks has been moving more and more and more towards Muckish and towards this cairn as it sets in the evening time. And now it's going to be behind this cairn just probably tonight, or probably even last night might have been the best night, the ultimate sunset behind it. And now it's going to start moving back again, so west southwest down and away from that cairn.
And there's very little that you can't Google nowadays that something doesn't pop up, but I can't find any images of this.
No, there's absolutely nothing on it. No,
amazing.
No. I spent years working in Donegal, and this was one of the. And I actually came across an awful lot of stuff that hasn't been identified yet. So, like, archaeology really is only in its embryonic state, and this is one of the things that I've came across. And I suppose I would have just relayed these things maybe to my students when I was working in the college there, lecturing in architecture. In the history of architecture and construction, but this
Brendan, just in relation to this and its function, okay, as a sort of a time teller, did they think about what might happen if it just so happens to be incredibly cloudy over the course of these couple of days? And how did they overcome that?
Yes, yes, there's evidence to that. If you actually go to the top of Muckish and you go to the cairn, and then you go to the face of the cairn that faces. South, southeast, probably, I think it is, you'll see that the stones at that part of the cairn are white, and that's because the fires have been lit on that side of the cairn on cloudy nights. And so when you light the fires on top of limestones, you drive out the moisture, and you get pure lime, and you break that up and you get field lime. So there is evidence of that up there. So that they would have, on a cloudy night, they'd have lit the fires and they would have been able to see probably from another sunset somewhere else on the other side of Muckish, as to maybe facing towards Lunyer or someplace like that. Yes, that's taken into account. And then from there, that fire would send the message to the rest of over to Mungery Hill, and from Mungery it could be relayed down to Beltane, probably all over over Donegal, Croken, over to Croken, over from there, even to Greenland and Aileach up that direction. You know,
just this idea of this daisy chain of fires on hilltops across the county. It's fascinating to think. So why would it have been important, like, and I'm not being facetious here, it's not so that, right, we can set the clocks, you know what I mean? Why would they be marking, I wonder, so long back, the summer solstice? Was it, have we any insight into that, Brendan, why this was important and what it might have triggered?
Yeah, well, we're not actually Homo sapiens, because Homo sapiens, there are other creatures on this earth that are intelligent, and we know that from whales and apes and things, creatures like that. We are Homo tempus. We set the time. We are the only creatures on planet Earth that set the time and mark the time. And by having time, by marking time, we can work together as a community. And as time went on, the whole of society, as time developed, as we got better and better at keeping time, we were able to work better and better as a community. And even now, we're talking about nanoseconds and things like that. Mm. And the nanoseconds, it's all allowed further development of time. When it came to the Industrial Revolution, it was because they had clocks that they were able to develop timing instead of just throwing in a bit of coke into the fire or something like that to make the steel. They could now time it precisely, just like as if somebody was making a cake and they wanted to get it precise and absolute. So we're creatures of time. And by having time, by marking time together, people were able to work together as communities, together, everybody, what is it, team, together, everybody achieves more.
Yeah, and one final question, Brendan. How can we be sure, and I know this is not the case, but you'll understand with the question, how can we be sure that you just haven't found a spot that this happens now? In other words, is there a significance to that area that you stand and look at this, you know, rather than it just being a coincidence of geography and time and what have you?
Well, you've got to ask the question. If you look at, if you study the maps of Donegal, you've got to ask the question, why is it that some of these roads are straight and so long? There's another one down along by Drumskinny, and it's about 8 miles long, so it's straight as a die, just like this. And even in Letterkenny, where you are at the moment, the golf course road, that runs straight up and across through the top of, even to where the fire station
was. There's another one off the Donegal Road as you exit Ballybuffet as well. If you look, it's a road. It looks like the Romans built it. It's so long and straight. I'm not saying it's
long
the
and
scale
straight,
that you're talking of, but it seems significant.
Yeah, well, the Druids, that one along the road to Ballybuffet, if I remember right, I'm not sure, but that leads towards... what is it? Barnesmore Gap.
Yeah.
Bar and Ashmore. Bar the top Ashmore, the long axis. Yeah. So that's another place where the sun sets are measured there, but not for a different time of year, and probably for the spring solstice and the autumn solstice, you know. So.
Okay.
So that's probably picking that one up. But so they measure time by these, by putting the cairns up on the top of the hills in the right places. And even in places like Gorda Hurk and places like that, there are cairns all over the hills there. And it was because of those cairns that they were able to set the times and agree the time together. And so people could get up, do their shopping together, do their work together, go to bed together, and that kind of stuff. You know?
Fascinating, Brendan. I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much indeed. Keep us in mind with any other tidbits, if you don't mind, because obviously you have a great love of Donegal. You're from Fermanagh originally, but worked up here, yeah?
Oh, yeah, 24, 25 years up there in Letterkenny. Loved it.
So you want to
not just that, but... hardest working students in the world, if you ask me, up there.
Lovely comment. Okay.
There you are.
Listen, thanks for that. As I say, keep us in mind. Brendan, lovely. Thank you. Okay, take care. Now, Brendan was kind enough to send a picture through to us of that via email. I'll get that picture and we'll post it on our social media, or I'll throw it up on the screen here if you're watching the show during an ad break. And as I say, pardon me if I look like I am a lobster. We went out fishing yesterday. It was kind of overcast for much of it. I grabbed sunscreen. Apparently the sunscreen was out of date, because here I am, burnt to a cinder. So my apologies. And it is what it is, but a lesson learned, no doubt. Unfortunately, it's taken twice to learn this lesson. But anyway, sorry, what was I saying? Yes, I'll get that picture and we'll throw it up on the screen during the next couple of ad breaks. It is now necessary for having a referendum on the Migration Pact. Highland Radio attempts to suppress such a debate, are doing no one a service. I've heard this a few times, that there's this sense that, you know, the media generally speaking, but I think I have an intimate knowledge of what happens here, that us at Highland Radio are. I can't think of anyone, other than stuff like they've read, I can't think of anyone that's contacted us that wants to actually articulate why the Migration Pact is bad news, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying it's good news or bad news, but I haven't received one piece of correspondence here by someone who can articulate precisely why. In other words, what it means in terms of numbers coming here versus numbers going to other, you know, I mean, like, I've highlighted on this program that it was fast-tracked through the Dáil a bit. I don't like anything. Why only allow 5 hours to debate such an important issue? It's going to be discussed against tomorrow night. But to suggest that in some way, well, certainly that I might be complicit in something like this, let me assure you, I am uninfluencable in that regard. And if anyone came to me and said, by the way, there's an issue coming up and we're going to take this angle on it, I would quite genuinely, and I'd have no problem with it, walk away immediately. I could not work in this environment if that were the case. So if anyone wants to come on and not sort of fearmonger either way, in other words, or not say like fearmonger by or glorymonger by saying it's the most best thing ever and this is why, because, or fearmonger and go, oh, it's going to mean this, that and the other. If anyone can articulate exactly how the Migrant Pact impacts on us. I would love that conversation because me and Caroline last week were trying to find someone who people have different views on the migrant pact, and we weren't able to do so. That could actually articulate precisely why. Not that it's like people might say in the first instance, right, it throws over our sovereignty to the EU. Explain that. Explain how that, you know what I mean? Because I want information. I want to be informed. Hi, Greg. Where is the outrage in media coverage from women's groups about the serial assaults happening all day, every day on public transport and on the streets by the migrants? Or do we not talk about them? We talk about all the cases. I do understand that people get kind of, I don't understand, but I do understand why people are getting very defensive about this, about we're talk, people are talking about this case and not other cases. Certainly where there's been, serious injury and death, obviously, get elevated into the public consciousness higher. There have been very high-profile cases that are ongoing where someone not originally from Ireland is responsible for something like this. Lots and lots of levels of outrage. I think the irony would have been if the outrage in this case was absent, because I hear plenty coming from the other direction. All right. Okay, let's look at the weather forecast now, and we'll see. Here it is. A mix of cloud and sunny spells today, staying dry for most, though isolated patches of light rain or drizzle will occur. Warm, temperatures 20 to 24 degrees in light southwest winds, some rain developing in the evening. Though we were forecasting southwest winds yesterday for the northwest, and I can tell you the winds weren't southwest, but anyway. Right, moving on. And a man in his 40s, as we've learned, died very tragically and sadly after getting into difficulty at a scuba diving event in Donegal at the weekend. Another man in his 60s was airlifted to hospital in Galway. Both men were taken from the water near the pier in Teelin, which is just outside Killybegs. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is independent councillor Niamh Kennedy. Niamh, thanks for your time this morning, and very, very sad news emerging over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Greg. Yeah, sincere sympathy and condolences to the family of that man who lost his life tragically in Teelin. Very, very upsetting for everybody, for all of his crew, all of the emergency services and everybody that pulled so strongly together to ensure that that they were rescued fairly quickly. Unfortunately, he just wasn't going to make it. It's just very, very sad. And to the other gentleman, I hope he has a very speedy and full recovery. The community is just shocked, and all of the colleagues obviously are going through a very traumatic time at the moment. So our thoughts are with them all.
Okay, indeed. And we'll join with you in that regard. And we'd invited you on to speak this morning ahead of that tragic news. And congratulations to you on being elected Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. What a whirlwind couple of weeks, isn't it, from sort of having prepared a concession speech, if you could call it that. I think I heard you mention that to Donna Marie at one point, to now being the first citizen of the county. It's I think that really is what you might define as a roller coaster.
Absolutely. It's a huge honour. And yes, it had been a very difficult time. It was quite an experience. And thankfully, the system, the political system has worked. The democracy is fantastic and we work very, very well together. Yeah, you're correct. On the Sunday I had the speech written, I didn't think I was going to make it. And gladly I did. And thankfully I would have been, my number twos came off from all over the municipal district. So that really helped me earn the title and to be third elected and to pass the quota, exceed the quota was quite an achievement considering that there was four or five of us actually from the Killybegs area.
Yeah, it was
area.
A very tight field for you, wasn't it, in that particular area and popular candidates as well. But as you say, people might want to pitch for them, but they also saw the value in what you've been doing and gave you their second preference. And one of only four women ever elected to the chair of our county in 125 years. That in and of itself, too, is a remarkable achievement, I think. I mean, we should be getting to a point where it's not a surprise, right? But unfortunately, we're at a point whereby it is notable still.
Well, it is, and it's shocking, really, and to think that there are only three of us elected this term again, and 19 of us did run. How we're going to manage this going forward, I don't know. I just think people need to be maybe more aware of that gender balance and maybe consider a woman, not because she's a woman, but because she's a good candidate, and that, you need to look at the history and what they do and all of the work that has gone on. So I'm all for gender balance. I think that's a really good thing, but I also feel that you need to be a good worker yourself as well. There's no point in putting someone forward just for the sake of it. That wouldn't be right either.
All right, listen, I would love a longer conversation with you, but still wanted to recognise your achievement. I'm sure we'll speak plenty in the year ahead. But for now, Niamh Kennedy, thank you very much for your time. Niamh Kennedy there, Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. Back with more after the news and obituary notices.